We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the David Bellavia Show here on News Radio 930 WBEN 803-0930. Gets you on the line. Also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. So far today, we've talked schools. David sat down with Darius Pridgen. That interview and the entire show available at WBEN.com. Remember, right now, we're hanging out in the WBEN Extras, David, but we will eventually get our own tab there on the on-demand section of the website and the app.
All right, we're going to play, we'll take your calls, 803-0930. We'll talk about anything, the interview with Darius Pridgen. We'll talk about the preschool COVID nursery school daycare situation on WBEN.com. And we'll also play this game, I Need the Music. What are we doing? Here it is. All right, we love playing games here. Now, you call into the program, you are playing the game. That's just the way it goes. And then you can ask your question, we'll have fun. But it's real simple. The questions are all about, did the founding fathers do this, or was this a member of the rock band Motley Crue? These are stories from members of Motley Crue and their memoirs and their interviews, or their stories about our founding fathers. We've changed some of it to make it, a little bit...
We're not changing the Motley Crue story. We're just maybe omitting a few things, still making it relevant just so you can't tell what's what.
Right. We don't want to give away any sort of, All right, so we'll take your calls, 803-0930. Tony Caligiuri will also be playing with the audience, so he doesn't know any of these questions. So here we go. Let's go first to Deborah, very patient. Deborah in Olcott. Deborah, let's play the game. Who did this? Founding Fathers. Or a member of Motley Crue, and then you can ask your question, Deborah. Are you ready? Deborah?
Yes, I'm ready. Can you hear me?
Okay, so you have to determine if this action was performed by a founding father of the United States of America or a member of the band Motley Crue. Here we go. Question number one.
All right, Deborah. As a teenager, this person wrote letters to a paper as a woman. Was that a founding father or Motley Crue?
I don't know anything about Motley Crue, so I'm completely guessing, and I'm going to say a founding father.
We're going to lock that answer in, Deborah. We're correct. Deborah wins. What founding father was that?
That one, I believe, was Benjamin Franklin, correct?
Benjamin Franklin Benjamin Franklin pretended to be a woman and wrote letters when he was 16 years old. Yeah, there it is. Good job, Deborah. All right, now, Deborah, what is on your mind today?
Well, I'm calling because I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and I have a heart problem, and I can go to my heart doctor up on Maple, and when asked to wear a mask, I can say, okay, there's hundreds of people in here, and that's reasonable. But when I go to my own doctor, and most she's going to have in a day because of the regulations now is 20 to 30 people, and I'm the only one in the office, and I have a heart condition, and my heart needs all the oxygen it can get, and I explain that, and at first, it's fine, you don't have to wear a mask, and then they come out, and they say, oh, no, you must wear a mask, and I must admit, I put my right arm straight out, and I said, Heil, I'll put on the mask, and then I went to fill out the paperwork,
You mean that figuratively. You didn't actually do that.
I was so angry.
Maybe she did.
Wore my mask off and said, nope, I'd rather pay the cancellation fee. Goodbye.
Wow. Did that make you feel, I mean, you obviously you're frustrated. You've got a health condition. Doing that exercise, you literally didn't give the Hitler salute though, right?
Yes, I did.
Well, we most people would frown on that, but you're frustrated, you're angry, and you feel that this is affecting your health. After you did that, after you had that, you know, expression, what did it make you feel like? Was it worth it?
I felt like hopefully that shook them out of their delusions. I'm tired of being lied to.
Right. But do you still feel the same frustration you had at the moment you decided?
Afraid for my life.
Okay. No, I'm not asking you to explain it. I'm just trying to say, do you feel better now having done that than you would have if you didn't do it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Feel completely justified.
Okay. Hey, God bless you. Listen, I hope you are healthy and, you know, again, it stinks that you have to be in a position to express yourself. But if we're doing it because we have to, and it's in a safe, controlled way, and you're making a point, that's what we're here to do. So God bless you. I hope you're healthy and happy. And for the record, Deborah has a bad heart. I have a good heart. It also needs all the oxygen it needs. I'm just saying most hearts need all that oxygen. But she has a heart condition. What is Deborah supposed to do? I mean, you're going to tell her how much air she can breathe and where she should be. I mean, these are legitimate, frustrated people. You know, the salute thing probably we'd frown on. But Kevin in Amherst, you're up next, sir. How are you?
Hey, great interview with Bishop Pridgen.
Bishop Pridgen is one of the most decent and honorable men I've ever met. He is a wonderful human being. And you got a problem with Darius, you got a problem with me. I love that guy. Hey, but Kevin, we're going to get you to your question. But first, you have to play the game. Is it a founding father who did this or a member of Motley Crue? Kevin in Amherst, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Kevin, this one should be easy, but it's not. Released a book called Fart Proudly. Was that a member of Motley Crue or a founding father?
Now, before we get to Kevin, we're going to go to Tony. Tony, is that good? You know what? Let's go to Kevin first, and then Tony, we'll see if you agree with him. Kevin, what do you think?
Founding father.
Founding father believes Fart Proudly was there. Was it an autobiography or was it just a, what kind of book was that? Nonfiction? You put that in fiction? Tony, what do you think? Is that a founding father or was that a member of Motley Crue?
That would be Benjamin Franklin.
That was Benjamin Franklin, Kevin. He's a founding father. You, sir, are correct. Now, get to what you called in for, sir.
Pridgen is a personal role model of mine. Now, picture this. I'm on number 12 Utica bus, and I see people coming out from True Bethel, and I say, wow, this looks like fun. I was looking for a church home, and I go in. I'm the only white guy there. What is the most segregated day of the week? It's Sunday. And the glory of God just fell during that service. And here I am, not just sitting in a chair, but running around with a worship flag. And people didn't even know what was going on. Is this guy crazy or what? And Pastor Pridgen shared that when he was in the service, he was the shortest guy, so he held the flag, the American flag, with a troop assembly, and he identified with what I was doing, this kind of radical praise. And before you know it, all of a sudden, this is my new church home, and I'm really feeling an identification with the body of Christ that I'm with. And I would have to tell you that we have to give a great acknowledgement to the African-American community in the United States because they're so influential in the arts, the sciences, math, you name it. And just the way we speak, it's an influence from black rock and roll musicians.
Right. No, but can I just say, though, that is what I'm talking about being what annoys me. And I know what you're saying is coming from your heart, and it's 100% true, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we have to identify all the good that black people have done in America is uniquely un-American. It's uniquely un-American that I have to say that Bishop Pridgen is the best black mind in Buffalo. That his heart is so true and he's an asset to the black community in Buffalo. Bishop Pridgen is a treasure of Buffalo. Bishop Pridgen is a smart, decent man, regardless of, you know, do I disagree with him? You heard 90% of what we disagree about. But does that, you know what I'm saying? Like, as long as we say who invented the traffic light, who invented peanut butter, it's not, do you know all the things that black people have done? It's, do you know the things that Americans have done? We're talking about black history. American history is black history. We should be talking about the things that black people did all throughout American history. I mean, do you realize what happens in the Civil War if we don't start conscripting black people to fight? I mean, seriously, that was a turning point in the war. It was a huge part of keeping America one, World War One, World War Two. Black Jack Pershing was called that because he only worked with black troops. That was the leader of the war in World War One. And because the American military would give black people the Medal of Honor or give them awards because of their skin color, he had them, you know, assigned to French units so they could get all of the French awards. I mean, that's how much he cared. So, I mean, that's a part of all of our history. You know what I'm saying?
There's two different Americas. There's the white America and there's the black America. And woven into the fabric of this is, I just think black America just wants a piece of the action. And they've been so underrepresented, so marginalized, that I think it's time for us as white people to really be receptive to just the contributions that have gone unnoticed. Just because everybody is this homogenized American doesn't mean that we have to disregard particular people that stand out.
But can I just say, though, that Kevin, I'm not saying that this is you, and I please hear me for what I'm saying.
Okay.
But traditionally in America, the people that are talking today about the marginalization of African Americans mm-hmm. are the same people that marginalized African Americans. So my problem is I hate to be lectured to by people that are literally still marginalizing African Americans, but now because there's a group of attractive college people in a crowd, we want to be woke, we want to be modern, we want to kick our daughter's feet on TikTok, and now the cool thing to do is to be a part of a group that's saying this is outrageous, when traditionally through American history, those are the very same people that did the marginalizing. It was always the elitist bourgeois class, the Northeast intellectual liberal that sat in college classes and, wrote the poems and received the Nobel Prizes for their books. But what were their books about? Their books were about systematic oppression of black people. That's how they lived their lives. You know, I mean, Nancy Pelosi isn't going to move a side of power to let a Black Lives Matter person take over the Speaker of the House. That's not going to happen.
I think what you're talking about is the over intellectualizing of this whole thing, which is really a heart issue. I hear your heart, man, and I think your heart is in a really good spot. But the intellectualized community out there is giving it a bad rap, and I'll tell you why. Because it's time for us as white people, I think, to listen to the hurt that is going on. Just to say that because of the color of your skin, we're going to forget your contributions that have happened. Just take Darius Pridgen, for example. What good is it to be a pastor of a church if you can't legislate on alternate parking in front of your church? I remember that it had a profound influence in one of his sermons, and why he has become the political figure that we know. I used to watch him on the Mary Davis Show, and what really struck me is his humility. He is a servant of the people, and now it's time for us to serve one another. It's You know about serving, of course. And it's self-forgetting. It's letting go to hear the other side.
And Kevin, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you representing that other side and doing it as a respectful person, as a God-fearing person, as a person who shared his faith. I agree with all the things you said about Bishop Pridgen, and I really appreciate you participating. That's what makes this program different, our calls like that. So please continue them. Even when you disagree, I want to hear the other side. Kevin, God bless you. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Rob in Buffalo. Rob, go ahead, sir.
Yes.
All right, you're going to play the game. Here we go. Was it a founding father who did this or a member of Motley Crue? Tony is also going to be there to be your judge. Here is the question.
All right, one of this guy's mistresses was known for her raging temper, threw a heavy object through a window after being locked out. Was that Motley Crue or founding fathers?
Say founding father.
Who was that, Tony?
I'm going to have to go Motley Crue here.
Motley Crue says Tony. Rob says founding fathers. What's the answer?
Yeah, Tony, you are right. That was one of Tommy Lee's girlfriends Motley Crue.
I was thinking Thomas Jefferson. I totally was thinking I was with Rob on that one. It was too modern, and I thought that Rob was playing the game appropriately. Rob in Buffalo, what's on your mind, sir?
Okay. But I was just going to say that I just woke up, and I just said founding fathers because they were notorious for mistresses.
That's really, you know something? There's no joke there. You know, Rob, I'm watching this documentary on Jack Johnson on PBS.
Yeah.
And what really upset white people about Jack Johnson was that he just refused to ever accept the fact that he wasn't a free guy. He'll do whatever the hell he wants. He gets money, he's going to spend it. He's going to go with a girl, he's going to go with a girl. And you couldn't kick his ass in the ring. So what could you possibly do to Jack Johnson but threaten his life and have him arrested on bogus charges, which is what they ended up doing?
Hey, well, at some time period in time, somebody was going to stand up no matter what creed or color.
Listen, and that's always been my thing about firearms, is that if you arm a pop, if people have firearms, you can't do anything to them.
Right.
Can't.
You know, what I have to say about firearms, it's a tool. And it's the individual that holds it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you had a question or you just want to make a comment?
Yeah. I want to commend you for your service and commend you for having on Bishop Pridgen and the dialogue that you both had. Because really, that's what it is today. Like, we have rallies and things like that, but you need dialogue, not rioting and, you know, so forth. I'll put it to, I'm a black African American, and there's only a few quotes that I do remember. Dr. Martin Luther King said, it's the content of your character.
That's right. That's right. And that's what we're constantly striving to be. And the only way to be a proper country is if everyone is respected. That is patriotism, Rob. Patriotism is respect. Respecting the law, respecting each other as people. God bless you, Rob. Thank you for calling into the program. Anytime you want, you call back in. More callers, more differences of opinion, all treated equally and respectful. Without lying to each other, we can be honest with each other and be respectful. We will be back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the David Bellavia Show here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Get on the phone now, 803-0930. Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board also open, 803-0930. Twitter, at David WBEN. Facebook, The David Bellavia Show. And we had a few calls during the break. That interview with Darius Pridgen online, WBEN.com, in the WBEN Extras. Taking your calls now.
So we're playing this game. Did a founding father do this, or was this a member of the band Motley Crue? I picked out the founding father stuff. Joe Beamer picked out the Motley Crue things. And Tony Caligiuri doesn't have the answer, so he's agreeing with... But he nailed the Motley Crue thing. So I know Tony likes that, is a fan of Motley Crue. But Tony, that was really obvious, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was.
I mean, Robin Buffalo just woke up. He didn't even hear the question. He literally just... called in and said, I wasn't really paying attention. I'm just going to go with Founding Fathers. But if he heard the question, that was really obvious. You might as well have been like, this person loved to play the harpsichord. Okay, I'm going to go with Founding Father.
It wasn't Mick Mars?
Yeah, right. This guy was known for his twirling upside down drum set. Like John Adams?
So you're saying...
No.
You're saying,
it's got to be a little bit like...
I thought mistress was helping time.
Yeah, but then you said girlfriend, and then you said object out a window. Like, come on. How many stories did the Founding Fathers live in? It wasn't like an 18... I mean, in a ranch house in 1785, it was probably a one-story drop there, Joe. What did she throw out the window?
They trashed hotel rooms.
Unbelievable.
I thought someone might think it's one of those old irons they put on a stove.
Unbelievable. All right, let's go back to the phones. 803-0930. If you have something to say, you must play the game. Nelson and Elma, guess what? You're playing the game. Is it a founding father who did this or a member of Motley Crue? They've been mixed up. They're very difficult to differentiate. Joe Beamer, here's the question.
All right, this person burned down a tree just for fun.
George Washington.
And he's saying a founding father. That's his answer.
I'm sorry, that was actually all the members of Motley Crue one night after a concert.
So now, Tony, would you already knew that?
No, because I would have said George Washington chopped down a cherry tree. Motley Crue burned it down.
Look at Joe Beaver trying to mix it up there, Joey. Very well done.
See, you said the last one was too obvious. I tried to clean this one up.
All right, Nelson, what do you have to say, sir?
Well, Dave, thank you for being a new host on the WBEN. I admire you personally, and I also admire Bishop, our bishop that was on before. Here's my problem. I was a developer in Buffalo, so I've hired many non-whites, and I'll use that term rather than blacks. I can't stand that term. But, you know, the problem I think we have is that community, the inner city, has got to change who their ambassadors are. And when I say the ambassadors, I'm talking about the family, the children, the teenagers, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the image that community has to the white community out here in the suburbs or around surrounding areas is first off, race never comes up in our conversations, ever. The only time you hear about race is on TV. And there's quite a contrast between Fox and CNN, et cetera, et cetera. And I look at all the successful non-whites that are on these programs, very successful. I've dealt with one of my close friends, Ed P. He was a legal advisor under Tony Masiello. Wonderful guy. And I believe in Martin Luther King's image that you judge a person not by the color of their skin, but the character of their piece, okay? But that is what's wrong. We're focusing, like the bishop said, we need more dialogue. Dialogue about what? The image that the black community has or the non-white community has from the outside looking in is that it's a handout situation. Everything is free, smoke detectors. Everybody gets something for free in that inner city. And what do they do with it? Nothing. It doesn't.
I think fundamentally, though, I think the debate, and this is really the problem across the board with we talk about race in the United States, the biggest discriminatory factor in all of in the United States today, the biggest discrimination you will face is being poor. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. The statistics show that a black person having the financial ability for a black person to take themselves out of their current economic situation doesn't necessarily mean poor, it could be middle class, whatever it is. But if you have the income to get yourself out, you don't have issues with race as, or you don't have issues in life as much as people that are stuck.
David, let me
in that. Just, so, but hold on though. If we look at it as economic, mm-hmm. and then determine that more black people are in that category than white people,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the problems that were, you know, the fathers at home, responsibility, the raising of children, the type of schools, this is a poverty issue. And to me, the issue, the fact that nobody wants to talk about those economic issues, they just want to make, it's so easy to say, well, because of your skin color, could you think, Nelson, of anything more damaging to your morale than being taught in kindergarten that your life is going to be miserable because of the way that God made you?
And
that's the 1619 Project.
I do not disagree with anything you're saying. And the essence is, and this is what Trump has been trying to do, he wants school choice. Carl Paladino wanted school choice, vouchers, you know, the charter schools, all that stuff. And yet the union in that city won't allow that to happen in a progressive manner. That is, the education is the key for those people to get the skills, the mentality, and learn how to present themselves in the work environment. You know, I'll be honest with you. You look at a lot of these young people. I watch these newscasts where there's an accident or whatever, okay? And the news people are down there, and I'm looking at the issue, and I'm also looking in the background. And I look down that street, the unkept lawns, because they rent there. And I've got friends that own properties in there, and they cannot get those residents to do anything. Their lawns are unkept, and they're – I mean, I hate to say this, but the image is – how can I say this?
Have you ever been in a trailer park, Nelson? Nelson? You there? No, we lost him. There are some really poor areas. There are some trailer parks that are beautiful. There are some trailer parks that are horrible. There are some areas where white people live that are absolutely disgusting, revolting. I'm sure you could say the same thing about the inner city. What connects those two people? What connects? It's an economic breakdown. Poor people are less likely to graduate high school. What happens when you don't have a high school diploma? Nothing is happening economically for you at all. Nothing is happening without a high school diploma. And yet, what do you see in poor areas? Whether it's Hispanic, Caucasian, African-American, it's far more of an economic issue than it will ever be. The statistics back that. John, you're going to play the game and you're going to have something to say. So let's play the game first. Was it a founding father that did this or was it a member of Motley Crue? Here is the question, John.
This man tabled another man's earlobe, or I'm sorry, nailed another man's earlobe to a table. Motley Crue or the founding fathers?
Be the founding fathers.
John says the founding fathers. Let's lock that in. Tony, what do you say?
Oh, founding fathers on this one.
Founding fathers had an earlobe nailed to a table. Joe, what is the answer?
That was actually a member of Motley Crue.
Play the music.
Nikki Sixx was actually...
Nikki Sixx did that.
Did that to a long-winded punk rock poser. He was upset with a punk rock poser and said, no more of this. Earlobe to the table.
Unbelievable. I had to do a book tour. I had to do... Kill your mic for a second. I had to do a book tour... Nikki Sixx, who was doing Heroin Diaries at the time. And so I'm the war guy talking about Iraq, and Nikki Sixx is doing Heroin Diaries. Everywhere I go in a green room, I'm following Nikki Sixx, and he is a human hurricane. He's smoking cigarettes. He's running around doing whatever the hell he wants to do. And by the time I get into the studio to do the interview, everyone's exhausted. They've all had to clean up stuff and you know, spray Febreze everywhere, and nobody wanted to talk. They're just like, you don't follow Nikki Sixx. The guy is a human hurricane. He's crazy. Hey, John, go ahead, sir. You're in Rochester. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was going to say, if I had another guess, I would have guessed Mike Tyson, right in the ear. That's the first thing I thought about.
Yeah, right.
So I wanted to... I agree with you. That was a bad joke, but I agree with you that it's not race, it's culture and poverty. And the one thing I have to say is the Democrats have kept the blacks in poverty through their generations of these programs, these poverty programs. It's almost like it's, and you've heard it before, it's plantation mentality, and it's created a culture in the inner cities, which I don't know how the heck they're going to get out of it. The thing that bothers me, though, also is the denial, and I've had discussions with some black leaders and a lot of the media, a lot of the reporters out there, that this Black Lives Matter, not only are they a Marxist group, but their premise is wrong. Police, if you look at statistics, I heard William Barr talk about it the other day. If you look at statistics, whites are actually more prone to police brutality than blacks if you consider the frequency of crimes committed by blacks. I'll give you
that's all true, John. And again, that data is absolutely, we could talk data all day. But to a radio audience, the argument is always going to, and especially when you're trying to encourage more liberal left-wing thought process, right? I don't want any statistics that are, I know your statistics because I've read them too, and I know your sources, and I know they're accurate. I'm just saying that it's impossible to come after what happened to George Floyd and then say, well, statistically, this is happening more. It's on video. It's right there. It's in your face. It's disturbing. It's unnecessary. Does George Floyd make a series of poor choices? If you read anything about George Floyd, his entire life was a series of poor choices. This is a guy who was struggling with a lot of things. And you know what George Floyd was struggling with most? His addiction to drugs, and he was beating it until COVID kept him home. And then he started having the, temptation and going out there and using again. He found himself in a bad spot. None of it is a defense for what happened to him. So what Black Lives Matter has for it, and the reason why it's become a national phenomenon, is because the case study that they're using right now is indefensible. Nobody, it doesn't matter what your stat is, nothing is going to take away the fact that 9-year-old little boys and girls are seeing a police officer put a knee on a neck, and that killed a man. And that is really tough to try to say, well, technically, this doesn't happen a whole lot. It happened one time, and it's all over the world, and that's really what the problem is. John, I appreciate your call in Rochester. Breaking news, Letitia James, Attorney General of New York State, has just filed a lawsuit to dissolve the National Rifle Association, the NRA. She's claiming for 18 months, New York State has been following the NRA everywhere, and they say that the NRA is fraught with fraud and abuse. This would be a contributed to the loss that the NRA had, $64 million over a 3-year period. NRA suffering. New York believes that they can dissolve the NRA with this lawsuit, that it's fraud, waste, and abuse. I'm really glad the Attorney General is on the NRA right now, because there's nothing else going on in the world that New York State should be focused on. But, let's go after guns. Why not? Well, what's the problem with that? Charlie in Buffalo, you're up next, sir, and you're going to play the game. Here it is. Was this a founding father, or was this action performed by a member of the band Motley Crue? Here we go.
All right. This person wrote a 600-page letter on how young men should pick up mistresses.
Person wrote a 600-page. That's a lot of pages to pick up mistresses. Charlie in Buffalo, what do you think?
I go to a founding father.
Only because I don't believe Motley Crue could write 600. What would you say, Tony?
I was just going to say the
no
same
No one from
thing.
Motley Crue founding could do father. 600 pages. Yes, you are correct. I think that was Ben Franklin as well.
That was a lot
you
of
You should just be, is this Ben Franklin or is this Motley Crue?
I'm impressed, though. I struggled to write 30 pages on why college football should have a playoff system.
Well, you certainly don't have the nuance with the with letters and words. Charlie in Buffalo, what's on your mind, sir?
Hey, look, I'd like to say two things. First thing is, the show is outstanding. I think that it begins to a whole new era of WBN recapturing a big portion of the thought process in Western New York and Southern Ontario. So,
thank you, Charlie. That really means a lot to me. I appreciate that.
That's outstanding. Secondly, to Jim, again, one of the issues that, and many of the perspectives that Jim lent the previous caller, and we understand them, But I think the biggest thing is, in his mind, issues of who controls the image, the development, the formation of images that are nationally broadcast. Minorities don't have that kind of capacity. That image that he's articulating is one that's created by somebody else. So
well, you're very. I mean, listen. In when it came to the newspapers in the 20th century. You every time an African American was depicted in a newspaper in a cartoon character, it was some derogatory. So you have a generation of people that see something one way. That generation dies. The next generation goes through the civil rights era, the baby boomers. That generation, as they're growing old, now we have this open area that have grown up. And the example that my generation had of an African American family on television was Bill Cosby.
There you go.
And he was a lawyer.
Ben.
His wife was a doctor.
Mine, because we weren't on television.
That's right. So you have a complete. So now when you hear, so like for example, when you hear the people say how they respond when they hear the N word from their friends, and my first reaction is your friends are using the N word. That's, you know what I'm saying. What group of white people are you hanging out with that word is coming out?
Well, think about it, and again, we want it, and I love the perspective you just lent. Certainly, generational change is taking place. Arguably, music becomes a factor because it's brought more groups, younger groups together, clearly, and issues of race are de minimis at that level because they're more in tune with issues like music, those more commonalities. When one talks about the N-word, think about it, derogatory for years, but once it became embraced by the majority population and the young people, then it became derogatory.
But see, when I hear about criticism of black men not being proper fathers, I see that more as an anti-man statement than I do a black statement. Because quite frankly, you are implying that women and men get together for the sake of creating families. And I guarantee you that one person in that decision-making process did not want to make a family.
It sounds like a man's
No, but you know what I'm saying? Everyone that comes out and says black people have a responsibility, they need to be in their homes, they have to be fathers. Well, first of all, you better make sure that your own backyard is okay when you're making that statement. And there's a lot of white families that are having that deficiency as well. But it's normally a statement that's made about men.
The opposite end of it is the divorce rate or the families that are so totally dysfunctional, where mass killers come out, or people who kill kids in schools, or those bombing up buildings. Those kinds of things, again, the issues of creation of a false story, the image of a particular group or groups of people, that has permeated our society. But the younger people have seen that, and we only need to look at the composition of the protesters in this year, and actually almost for the last 3 years. It's an amalgamation of everybody in the United States, irregardless of the color of their skin. So the issues don't become so much color as they do become value systems, mores that the people.
But how long does the African American population have to deal with getting photographed just because they're the black friend? Well, how long does the white guilt?
Cool, unless you had a black friend.
No, but you know what I'm saying though. It goes the other way to become patronizing, where you're just saying, well, you're in my life because I need you for my selfie that I'm putting on Instagram, so I looks like I'm inclusive.
So I can check that box.
Right, yeah. And to me, I don't want to be. If I had like five black guys that kept inviting me to go out, I would be like, I know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, at some point, we have to truly respect. We can't just respect so that people can see us as inclusive. We have to have every kid, when they're coloring children, go for, you know, a brown crayon too. Because instinctively, they know children have other skin colors than their own.
And I think, in closing with that, I think it's a proper statement. I'm going to thank you for giving me the time.
Well, hey, Charlie, God bless you. I appreciate calling into the program. I encourage as many people, especially if we disagree. That's what we do. Talk, disagree, respect. Respect each other. We can learn, we can grow, we can be Buffalo Love. What is that? Buffalo.
I hate that expression. Buffalo, I'm sorry. Love? It says what love, and I say hate.
What are we, like, Newport love? It doesn't sound like a really a place you get a bad tattoo.
It's brutal.
Buffalo. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. We got the sports show tomorrow, and we're going to also talk about Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. We're going to give you the top 10 in music. We're going to talk about the top 10 in music 20 years ago, 50 years ago. We're going to talk about Pop Culture Friday, sports, fun, entertainment, things that you do going into your weekend. That's tomorrow's show.
And don't forget to follow us at David WBEN, the David Bellavia Show on Facebook. And remember, on demand, we're still getting calls. On demand is the WBEN Extras tab of WBEN.com and the radio.com app. We'll have a David tab there soon enough. Hey, have a great day. We'll be back for Friday tomorrow here on WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.